The words of God given to us today is from Psalm chapter 119, verses 113 to page 120. It's from page 894 of the Old Testament. I will read the words. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their delusions come to nothing. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in all of your laws. Amen. In the prior sermon, I have said that the characteristic of double-minded people is that they do not love the words of God or consider God as their hiding place or shield. They are unable to stay away from evildoers who approach them in various ways and stay close to them. And I have said that in order to live with single-mindedness and not with two minds, one must love the words of God, hope in God's words, and obey His words. Today, we will think more about what is necessary for us not to be double-minded people in terms of loving, hoping in, and obeying God's words. The first, we must be able to separate well. In verse 115, the psalmist commands, "Away from me, you evildoers." When we look at the words "from me" in Hebrew, the word "min" in Hebrew, which is a first-person suffix that denotes separation, is used. If we were to translate with emphasis on this word, it would read, "You evildoers, depart from me." The psalmist wanted to be completely separated from the evildoers. The Hebrew word min, which means separation, was used again in verse 116. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. The word min was used with the word hope. Here, unlike the way the word was used by the psalmist to express how he wants to be separated from evildoers, the word is used to express how he does not want to be separated from hope. Therefore, the verse means, may not my hope be separated from me, so that I will not be faced with shame. The word hope in this verse is a hope for salvation, as we can gather from the phrase, and I will live. But as expressed in verse 114, it also means absolute trust in God's words. The psalmist did not want to be separated from this hope. That we must be good as separation in order for us not to be double-minded means that we must know well what we must or must not separate from. There is one more place where this Hebrew word min is used. It is used in verse 118 in connection with your decrees. If we were to translate this verse with emphasis on men, all who stray from decrees would read, all who separate and stray from your decrees. These people did not do separation well. The second thing we need in order not to be double-minded is that we need to do attachment well. We must be attached to God and God's words. As confessed by the psalmist in verse 116, "Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live." I can only live when God sustains me. But it is not me proactively attaching myself to God. Rather, I am upheld by God, the recipient of his holding. In Acts, Paul is arrested upon arriving in Jerusalem after finishing his third mission trip to malicious incitements. He appealed his case to the emperor, and he headed for Rome as a prisoner on trial on a ship. During his sea trip, the ship ran into the Northeaster and Mediterranean, and he faced a threat to his life. At that time, Paul comforted 275 persons who were on the ship with him and said the following, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Acts 27, verse 23 testifies as to the reason Apostle Paul was able to say this. "Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said." What Paul meant by "the God to whom I belong" is that he is held by God. Why did God uphold Apostle Paul? It was to complete the salvation of Gentiles that God had planned. In this way, a person who lives up to the calling given to him by God is upheld by God. Apostle Paul had received his calling much earlier than the time he boarded the ship. However, he was able to affirm his calling once again in the ship that was caught in the northeastern gale. "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." Apostle Paul, who had heard God's word through the messenger of God, was able to speak confidently not only about his own salvation, but the salvation of the 275 persons who were with him, because he believed that God was upholding him and the words of God would be fulfilled. This is what Paul said to the 275. "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Apostle Paul believed that what God had told him will come to pass just as God has said. The psalmist who prays for his salvation to God in Psalm 119 also often says, "According to your words." The prayer that he may be allowed to live according to God's words is a consistent confession he makes in Psalm 119. The prayer, which is found in the latter part of verse 116, "Do not let my hope be dashed," is a prayer which hopes for salvation, that he would be separated from the evildoers and live while being upheld by God. As it is said in Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for. If my belief that God will rescue me who is in trouble will come true according to the words of the Lord, then wouldn't this be my hope not being dashed? We can also affirm that the hope the psalmist has is hope for salvation through verse 117. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. This is a confession which says that I can be saved when God sustains me, as in verse 116. If God upholds me, then would we have any reason to fear the threat of bankruptcy, a threat of losing a job, a family crisis, or a threat to my life? Even if I become bankrupt, lose a job, or if my family becomes broken, or if I'm living a limited time after being diagnosed with cancer or incurable disease, if God upholds me, there cannot be a failure or death that lasts forever. Who can deny this? What is interesting about the confession of the psalmist in verse 117 is that the words, "I will always have regard for your decrees," is juxtaposed with the words, "I will be delivered." The word regard, which appears in the verse, "I will always have regard for your decrees," means to look or gaze at closely. The same Hebrew word which means regard also appears in connection with the sacrifices given by Cain and Abel in chapter 4 of Genesis. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. The word which has been translated as look is translated as regard in today's text. Would God receive the offerings offered by people without any thought? That God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering means that God regarded the offerings with care. Would God have only looked upon the offerings only? That he accepted Abel but not Cain means that God looked closely at their hearts. In the same way that God closely looks at a person giving worship, the confession of the psalmist that he would always have regard for your decrees means that he would meditate on God's words with focus in order to understand the will of God. And verse 117 is not talking about a conditional obedience, which says, "I will have regard for your decrees if you uphold me." Rather, it teaches us how a person who has been saved should live. As people who have been upheld by God through Jesus, we must always focus on God's words as we live. But to what do you pay attention to? If you recall your daily life, you will know for yourself. At the beginning of this year, many have resolved to read the Bible daily and write out the Gospel of John regularly. Are these resolves being kept well? Why did the psalmist repeatedly say, "Sustain me and uphold me," in verse 116 and verse 117? Would he have repeatedly said so because God is hard of hearing? These are the resolves of the psalmist. We are also people who have received salvation. but we must repeatedly pray to God to uphold us. The reason we must pray this way is because we are weak. There is no assurance that we would not deny the Lord less than three times, as Peter, when we run into a crisis. Shouldn't we pray for God to uphold us who are weak and prone to breakage, at least so that we would not deny the Lord? We are able to focus on God's words when God upholds us. It is when God upholds us that it is possible for us to read through the Bible, write out the words, and do Bible study. If one were not attached to God's words, what would happen? Verse 118 and verse 119 let us know. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for your delusions come to nothing. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. A person who is separated from the words of God receives God's disdain. The word disdain means thought of as not worth much or discarded. If anyone were to be thought of as not worth much and discarded by God, it means that one is separated from God. If a person who is attached to God is a person who has received salvation, what kind of a person would be discarded by God? Is it necessary for us to say? A person who is separated from God's words will meet a fearful end. A person who is separated from God's words will be discarded like a refuse. Verse 119 says that all evildoers will be discarded. These evildoers are people who have left the words. Verse 53 testifies that people who have left the words are evildoers. The dross that verse 119 refers to is impurity which comes out when gold or silver is purified. A person who leaves the words is like becoming a dross of the faith community. If there are impurities, they must be discarded through a purification process to increase the purity of gold or silver. Therefore, one must not become separated from the word. A characteristic of a person who has become separated from the word is that they cannot live truthfully. As we can gather from the word their delusions in verse 118, they live while deluding others. But their delusions do not last long. A false life always ends in vain. Faith is being sure of what we cannot see, what we hope for. But there is no reality to what is false. Their delusions come to nothing. The reason their delusions come to nothing is that God rejects them and discards them as dross. Are you suffering from falsehood and lies? In the same way that impurities are separated as dross, people of lies and delusions will be separated from people who are honest. There comes a time when God will separate that dross. That is a time of judgment. What the people who are attached to the words must do, as Psalmist confessed, is to love the words. Therefore, I love your statutes. The word therefore in verse 119 means that because God discards people who have been separated from the words like dross, I will love the statutes of God so that I will not be separated from them. The psalmist realized that there was another thing that he should do in addition to loving God's words. This is found in verse 120. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your words. The third thing we need in order not to be double-minded is to know how to fear. That the body trembles in fear means that the body is responding to the thoughts of the mind. If one were to know that God looks down on people who are separated from words, that God causes their delusions to come to nothing and discards them like dross, then one cannot help but fear God and tremble. On the other hand, if one is separated from the words of God, that person will not fear God. Right now, aren't there so many who do not fear God on this earth? God warned Israel through Prophet Hosea, who was active during the time of demise of northern Israel. At the time that northern Israel wandered farther from God, the more prosperous it became. When we think about this, we cannot be sure that we have been blessed by God if we earn more or get more. Whether one is blessed or not must be judged over a long period of time. This is from Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Israel built more altars the more its income increased, and it adorned idols more as his land prospered. Would Israel have done this because they had no idea about God? This is from Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Israel knew God, but they went away from his words and deceived God. They deceived God with double-minded hearts, but their delusions ended in vain. All of their prosperity disappeared. They received warnings from Hosea, but did not turn back. At the end, they were destroyed by Assyria in God's judgment. The gospel came to Korea, and like Israel of the past, its fruit increased in the way a grapevine thrives due to God's numerous blessings. And the church's influence expanded so that it enjoyed prosperity. It still has considerable religious power. But can we say in confidence that the Korean church is serving God with single-mindedness? Can we be sure that it has not made many altars of worldly values, and it is not adorning it with the idols of change cultures and custom ideas and ideologies? What is judgment and what is salvation? That we have been saved means that we are not expected to be saved in the future, but that we have received salvation now. Salvation will be complete when the Lord will come again. But we live as saved people now. In the same way, the final judgment will be completed in the future. But if we're not attached to God's words, but are separate from them, we have already received judgment. If we look at the Hebrew Bible, the psalmist speaks of a judgment in verse 120 as a completed event, and he's trembling with fear about the God's judgment. How is it for us who is living during the time of the New Testament? Because of Jesus having come to earth, we are living the time of judgment which has begun. If one knows this, one would be fearful of God's judgment. And if one does not know this, one will not fear the judgment. Are you living with a fearful heart now? Or are you living without fear, attributing the present difficulties or tragic environment to natural disasters or a lack of talented people or limitations of social system? If you are a believer, you must be living in fear of God's judgment, which has begun with Jesus coming to the earth and is continuing through the present, and which will be completed in future. When Israel became double-minded, it ceased to fear God. Prophet Hosea testifies to this. This is from the first part of Hosea chapter 10, verse 3. Then they will say, "We have no king because we did not revere the Lord." But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? We do not need to fear and tremble before money and power of the world. And we do not need to fear the power of nature. But what is important is where that power came from. If it is power that God has allowed in his providence that rules the world, then we should be fearful. A person who is attached to God and his words fears God and his judgment. But a person who is separated from the words of God does not fear God or God's judgment. Today, we thought about what is necessary for us not to become double-minded. There are things from which we should be separated from and things that we should hold on to. The things from which we must separate from is the mind that embraces vain thoughts, things of the world, the thoughts, beliefs, and values of evildoers, which make us stray away from God's words. What we must hold on to are God and his words, the hope of salvation. When Jesus prayed to Father God, this is how he prayed. This is from John chapter 17, verse 17. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus teaches that becoming holy, a holy life, a life that is separate from the world, is only possible with God's words. A person who does separation and attachment well is a person who is living a life that is set apart, a holy life. Let us live a life in which we are not separated from the words of God, but in which we hold on to God's words. Let us pray in order to do so, as in Jesus' prayer, "Sanctify us with your words," and pray, "Uphold me," as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119. Today is the 76th anniversary of Korea's independence. The Independence Day is a day on which we recovered national sovereignty. During the time national sovereignty was separated from us, the delusions of evildoers overwhelmed this land. Our nation began to take on the shape of a nation once we recovered our national sovereignty. Let us not forget that there was incredible blessings of God behind our recovery of independence. So that Korea, which has received the blessing of independence, will not be separated from national sovereignty. We must carry out all of our duties and responsibilities as citizens of this nation. It is the same for the kingdom of God. We must carry out all of our duties and responsibilities as citizens of heaven. If we become separated from God's words, it would be like letting the sovereignty of God's kingdom be stolen away from us by evildoers. Let us not forget that a person who becomes separated from the words of God will receive disdain from God and become discarded like dross. Because of this, let us fear God and fear God's judgment by loving God's words each day. A person who knows what to separate from and what to hold on to is a person who loves God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for upholding us as you upheld the psalmist and apostle Paul. When we prayed for the recovery from political, economic, and social threats, and from threats to our health and faith, we had forgotten you, who opposed us and who is always next to us. And there were many times that we were not able to trust God, who saved us in accordance with the words. Please forgive us, so that we will not become double-minded. Allow us to be separated from what we should be separated from and hold on to what we should hold on to. Help us to be separated from evildoers, vain desires, and disease selfishness. Allow us to hold on to hope and God in His words. By believing the Lord who oppose us according to the words of the Lord in midst of many threats, allow us to be sure of what we hope for. Remembering that people who are separated from God and are prone to lies and defrauding others are disdained by God and will be discarded like dross. Allow us to focus on the words of God and love the words of God all the more and live in fear of God and God's judgment. Allow 100th Anniversary Memorial Church to maintain its holiness, become separated from the world, and keep the sovereignty of God's kingdom. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.